Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for coming today. Just a couple quick reminders before Geshe-la comes in. If you have a cell phone, please put it on vibrate or silence it. I see most of the kids are up here up front, but if you're not and you want to, come on up. I'd just like to remind folks that Geshe-la likes to have our questions. So if you have a question for Geshe-la, along sort of any kind of lines, he likes to know what we're wondering about, what we're pondering. So you can either go on our website and submit a question there, or there's some sheets out in the literature rack out there that have a quarter sheet that says questions for Geshe-la, and you can fill one of those out. And then Geshe-la will take a look at it and answer it during one of these sessions. So, and if there's anyone who's here for the first time, welcome. Glad you found us. Just to let you know, when Geshe-la comes in, we'll stand. You'll see some of us making prostrations, bowing, but don't feel at all like you need to do that. That's probably about it for etiquette. We'll do a little meditation when Geshe-la comes in. And I think that covers it. So thanks for being here. Okay, you'll turn to the first base sheet in your prayer books. We'll say Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta Maha Munaye Soha Taya Ta Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. And the four immeasurables. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sam Chen Tam Chede Waha Dam De Weng Yu Dam Dam Pa Yu Chim Du Nya Da Du Nya the page at the bottom of the pink sheet, we'll do 8 Chenrezig's Zig's mantra. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani chant Seven of Green Tara's mantra. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Okay, and the children are welcome to go to their classes now. And if you're here for the first time, please accompany your child out into the lobby.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Good morning. Begin with some meditations, okay? So, Chugila, so I have to repeat everything that's been said in the first sessions. This is the session of Groundhog sessions. Groundhog?
Groundhog.
Groundhog sessions. Yeah, so, so what I did this morning, reading from this. I think three strands are from these books called Guide to Buddhist Way of Life. So this is all in Tibetan, so I'm the only one who can read. Eighth century Buddhist scholars composed these books, okay? Eighth century Buddhist scholar called Shantideva. Shanti means, peace. In Hindi, P.S. Shantideva. Great scholar, great practitioner, great philosopher, great thinker, or you can say wise man. No? So this book has chapter 8. So I read from the beginning of the chapter 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of chapter 5. So just you to know, meditation is not something that we are the only one who is talking about. It's already been talking about meditations in 8th century, this book is composed. So the chapter number 6 is beautiful because it has dense information how to deal with anger. So everything that His Holiness Dalai Lama learned, it's from this book, okay, same book. So probably want to read. But Chukila English is much better than my English. So sometimes the way I say break the word, the people couldn't understand sometimes. Then I will read in Tibetan here, okay?
Okay, so the first stanza. Those who wish to guard their practice should very attentively guard their minds. For those who do not guard their minds will be unable to guard their practice.
So here the practice, there's literally translations of this called in Tibetan called Laba. Laba means, that's called practice. So that has three different types. First one is called ethic. Second one, concentrations. Third one, wisdom. So, the wisdom liberates. or free oneself from sufferings. Concentration makes your mind calm, peaceful. That's why you concentrate. Why you learn? We learn because wisdom will free ourselves, not just simple belief that they need to learn. So then ethics, so everybody knows about ethics. So then according to this, the message has been said in 8 centuries, according to this piece of message about meditations, to guide having trouble with ethics, having trouble concentrating, having trouble with the wisdom. So then it's all the meditation is about. The reason I'm reading from these books, then I want you to know it has source. I'm just saying it has source. This book is taught by Indian master. So that's how the Buddhism has been translated. Majority of those texts is translated from Sanskrit into Tibetans. So this is one of them. So now it looks like it's coming down or guarding our mind. That's why you meditate. Not because you come to Kadamba Center, not because you are Buddhist, not because your friend is meditating, not because there should not be reason. Reason is to guide our mind. Long as you have mind, then meditation will help to guide mind. So that's why we meditate. Okay, so then please.
So the second stanza. In this world, unsubdued and crazed elephants are incapable of causing such harms as the miseries of the deepest hell, which can be caused by the unleashed elephant of my mind.
So then, every problems, many of them, caused by mind. If you find out that's true, so then that's why we meditate. Okay. So mind is considered as, I've been saying that last couple of months, our mind is like elephants. So now you see where it's coming from. It's coming from Shantideva's books. It's not just, I just made it up last night. It's not like that. So I'm just repeating that. It's come from this book. So elephant, physically very powerful. So that's why mind is so powerful. So then training or subduing. Subduing or training that mind is critical. If you can do that, all the fear, you'll be free from all this fear, unnecessary fear, will be overcome just to training your mind. Okay? Then please, one more standard that we meditate. So these are the reasons why we meditate. Okay? Then last one.
But if the elephant of my mind is firmly bound on all sides by the rope of mindfulness, all fears will cease to exist and all virtues will come into my hand.
So now say the mindfulness is like a rope. What we have mindfulness that's like a rope. The mind itself is like elephant. If that elephant is wild, so that is no good. So if the elephant is calm, peaceful, that's why happy life begin, okay? So that elephant is on the move. So mindfulness is like rope. So here, indirectly here, underneath something to tie on, that's like pillar. Very strong, firm pillar where you can tie your elephant. So, can you repeat the last two stanzas there? Last two lines, please.
All fears will cease to exist, and all virtues will come into my hand.
What do you think about that? Do you believe? If you can take care of your mind, you can overcome from so many fears. So that's what has been said in 8th century. Now we are in 21st century, many, many centuries ago. So what Shantideva gained from that? Nothing. This book is free of copyright. Anybody can print. Nobody make any money. So since 8th centuries to now, till now, anybody can translate, anybody can reproduce this book. There's no copyright. So they don't have any intention to gain anything, just to benefit, that's all. So this has been practicing in Tibetan Buddhism very widely. This is the kind of books, whenever you're having problem in your mind, that's where you turn to. That's where no. His Holiness also having like so much has, it's like the trouble in the mind, because of Tibet, all these things. That's where he turned to. He turned to this book to get some help to keep his mind calm and realistic approach. Okay, so that's the reason. I just want you to know. Chapter number 5, the beginning of chapter number 5, that's why we meditate. Not because, your friend meditate, not because that's what Kadambas do every Sunday, they meditate. This should not be the reason. The reason is to take care of my mind. Oh, just want to share that with you, okay? Then I feel good. Something that I'm explaining here has source. If you want to look up, there's source. So the source has been taught by, wise men. So now what we do this morning, we are going to do the breathing meditations. Breathing meditations, are you comfortable? Or you're hot? Hot? Warm? Yeah, so maybe the door needs to, this door needs to open. Comfortable cushions, comfortable body, comfortable mind, that's where you meditate. If your mind is not comfortable, you can't meditate. So then if you become too comfortable, then you go fall. It has to be balanced. So breathing meditation, because being here last 15 years, mumbling, last 15 years, Kadamba Center, so just mumbling, the word here, there. So also, all of you have to know, this is simplest meditation you can do to help your mind. You don't need to say any prayer, you just sit there, sit comfortably. And sitting position, sitting positions, proper sitting position is important. In order to do meditations, productive meditations, too important to learn, okay? So, this morning I went through this, the 7 sitting positions in order to do meditation. So, first one, leg, cross. So, full cross, full vajra cross, doji chitung, doji, vajra, chitung is like, so I think the, I'm missing doji chitung, vajra position or something like that. So then in that case, you see sole of your feet on your lap, both sole. So that's quite difficult to do. So that's not how we sit. We sit, the monks, generally speaking, the way we sit is we don't see our sole into our lap. We just sit like that, exactly like that. So whatever you're comfortable, But if you're able to sit there, that's wonderful. But you can sit, that's half vajra cross. That means you don't see your sole on your lap. That's how you sit comfortably. That's the first one. There will be 7. First, kampa. So then, hand. Like this. 4 finger below your navel. You can place this hand on lap. So sometimes people do like this. This is too uncomfortable. Just put on your lap. 4 finger below your navel. So this shape and everything has significant meanings. So we are not going to talk now. So just say this 2. Leg, hand. 2. Kampa lapa. Kepa, back. Ko kepa. Has to be uncooked spaghetti. I've been saying pasta, that's wrong. Uncooked spaghetti, uncooked. When you pick one piece, straight, like that. If you become like cooked, pork spaghetti, then you go like this. So then it's no good. So uncooked. Straight. Then number three, kambaji, lava. Then three. So now shoulder. Needs to be, you know, don't touch like this. Little bit open. Make sure there's no the air run through. That's number four. Then head. Little bit down. Little bit, not like this, little bit down, a little bit down. There's number five. Eye. That's number six. Should place a little bit on the tip of the nose, like looking a little bit down. If that, then, you know, through meditation, if that become close, that's okay. No, just not all the way to close, but not all the way to wide open. A little bit like this, placing to protect you from the distractions. Okay. Then lip. This is number six, right? Six. So now lip, tongue, teeth count one. It has to be, how is it, natural. If you sit like, then that's not good, because now it has to be natural. Okay. So the tip of the tongue should touch upper palate to prevent you from, you know, to get thirsty. Also, in, you know, sometimes, you know, something comes out. Yeah, it won't happen. You know, so like, that's like if you meditate long. So that's also interesting. You know, so like when you hike, you can analyze if you touch, if you keep your tip of your tongue on your upper palate, it's supposed to prevent you from get thirst. So that's maybe something, you know, that it can be find out whether there's no truth. People here, you like to hike, you know, you hike everywhere, so maybe something, you know, something to, you know, probably think about. Oh yeah. So these are called seven sitting positions, you know. So that's important, you know, to learn. So then sometimes you see, you know, people sit like this, especially when you do yoga. So meditation, there are, you know, certain meditation that you visualize, you know. So only the explanation that I can think of is, as far as my knowledge is concerned, I can think of is, you know, when you visualize, there's like 5 points in your body there where you're supposed to visualize. Here, that's the one. Inside, it's not empty. You're visualizing something there. And here, the three, four, five. That's where you would know, one, two, three, four, five. You know, these are the five, how is the spot of the body that you visualize something, you know, some kind of holy image. So that's only I can think of. That's why, you know, it's like open. Anyway, so now this is no sitting position. So now what we do, we concentrate on our breath. Exhale from your nose. Inhale. So then that's one. When you exhale, inhale, you count one. So there's the on the count, that's where all your attention should be. You know, if you decide to count 21, 50, 30, then you, you know, exhale, inhale, you count one, two, three, four. If you hear some noise, some sound, you don't follow them. You know, make sure that you count correctly. So that's like pillar. Your breath is like pillars, you know. So now you're trying to tie the elephant on those pillars with the mindfulness of counting. So this is how is a technique that helps you to overcome from being obsessive with certain something. Okay, so we'll do that. You understand? Out, in. You count one. Out, in. That's two. Out. So then you have to be very mindful. You have to be fully alert about not, you know, the counting. Okay, count correctly. So where to stop thought, where to stop. You think something really precisely, that's the way to stop thought. You can't just sit there, think nothing. No, that's very difficult, no. So you think something very precisely, okay? So then that's a way to stop becoming obsessive with some, you know, thought. This is called breathing meditations, okay? Simple one, breathing meditations. So then you can do that with some form of visualizations. So I read on internet, they are saying smoke out, light in. Actually, what it means like you visualize physical, you know, problems, mental problems, you visualize the form of something, then you, when you exhale, then you visualize it going out of your body, then out of the house, out of the universe. Then when you inhale, then you are, you know, one way to say it is like draw the blessings, or maybe draw positive energies, you know, into your systems. Oh, okay, so that's what it means, light in. Oh. So, like drawing the energies means energy, nupa. Tibetan word called nupa. Can be, you know, power, or can be, you know, also the nupa. So the energy they're possessed by element, four elements, you know, water, earth, wind, fire, or something like that, elements. So there is one practice called Julin, means taking essence out of flower. Deu means, you know, then you make round pills out of dough. You make that. So then, you know, you live with that. You just take one pills a day. You don't need any food at all. You just, there's, you know, you never feel, I think you don't feel hungry. You kind of just take one pill, whether it's made out of flour or dough, you know. Then, of course, certain practice, the mantra that, you know, involved. So I've been doing this practice, you know, like, I never did, so don't think that I did the practice. I never did that practice. I just know by brain. So I heard about this practice, you know, many times. So you know Chundan Rinpoche, who came here, he was prison in Tibet. After 1959, he did that practice in prisons. You know, prisons, there's not much food. So you have to survive this kind of practice. So what is called Chu Lam is Chu is essence. Taking essence, you collect a lot of flowers, you dry them, then you make it powder, then you make pills, then you take once a day. So 7 years ago, when I visited Dharamsala, and not far from Dharamsala, that's called Lotus Lake. According to history, that's where the Padmasambhava was born. On the hill, there's cave, Padmasambhava cave. I visited there. So then around that cave, there are many, many nuns who are doing retreat. So I went to visit them, make some offering to them. I met one. Most of them are young. So I met one young nun, and she's doing this Julian practice. She's been, it looks like in 7 weeks, been doing 7 weeks. You know, kind of thin, but you know, then I talked to her. There is energy in her voice, but she looks fine. This is the first time I saw in my life someone who's doing Julian practice. You know, before that I just heard. So that's the first time I saw somebody. Make some offering, then talk to her. She said, you know, first couple of weeks it's kind of difficult, so now she's fine, you know, she just take one pill a day, that's all she eats. So sometimes this practice doesn't correspond very well with some people, you know, for the systems. Some people have negative reactions, you know? Some people, you know, it's get a lot of help. Anyway, so that's why I'm saying julian, that's flowers, taking essence. So this is related to my here, when you breathe in, drawing energies from, you know, like, So then now that practice has been very, very effective long, long time ago. Now it's like less effective because we are losing energies from the elements, from the trees, from the water, because that means, you know, from polluted. So there's us in this kind of practice now have less positive impact because now there's energy has also been deteriorating from the elements. So, so that's what I said this morning. Yeah. So now you know the purpose of meditation is to take care of the mind. That's all. Not because you come to center, not because you are trained to do meditations. No, those should not be the reason. Reason should be, you know, like to help yourself. Okay. So then, you know, meditation means, you know, you don't just do one time. You do again to making yourself familiar with this technique, breathing technique. The we are trying to here to make become familiar how we breathe. They say we breathe 21,000 times a day, in and out, 21,000 times a day. Out of that, how much that you are aware? In my case, zero. No, unless you do this breathing meditation. So when we do breathing meditation, we are aware how much breath we take in and out, because that's what we're trying to do, place all our attentions on our breath. So now there's no placing all your attention on feeling. Another way to meditation, you just sit there. I said, then you try to be mindful of your feelings, no? So, then placing your all attention on the mind, that's much more challenge. Because first of all, no, like that's more challenge. Placing all your attention on the physical, that's easier than placing all your attention on the feeling, that's a little bit difficult. So the placing all your attention on the mind, that's much more difficult. Then this is like placing your attention on not really physical, but you know something, some form of breath. Okay, so then your meditation become productive then rather than chicken meditation. Chicken, you just sit there, don't think nothing. You know, so the chicken can sit much better than we do. You know, some bird can sit on one leg long time. How long you can sit on one leg? So that's not meditation. They just sit there. You know. So do productive meditation. This is very simple that you can do. Okay. Oh yeah. So so then eventually, in the beginning, if you are having difficulties, you can say out, in, out, in. But you have to know the counting. The count that has to be understood very clearly. Okay. So then eventually it has to be very natural. Okay, natural. So this is, then you learn that, then you do the meditation, then you get benefit. There's a way to calm your mind rather than rely on beer. While you focus, while you concentrate, it makes your mind calm. That's it. No more, no less, nothing. That's it. You make way to make your mind calm. You concentrate. Not because you want to become Buddhist or you want to become this and that. No, because simply I have mind. I want to make my mind to make my mind to be calm and peaceful. That's why you concentrate. Okay? That's it. No more, no less. That's it. You concentrate. Someday, qixi, concentration, produce calm mind. Lo yi chol, wisdom liberates. Last Wednesday, so we have some discussion here, so I just want to know, bring it up, last Wednesday night, not Sunday, last Wednesday night class, talking about benefiting, like say, helping oneself and helping others. Had a couple of discussion here. And I heard, some people say helping yourself is very difficult, much more difficult than helping others. Is that true? Sometimes. So that's, something I think and like one person says, feeling good about yourself. feeling good about yourself. So there's, you know, this is, I think, development country, this is big problems. You know, I think the people say, okay, I don't like myself. No, I'm bad. Simply, I've been talking or thinking about this topic in the last couple of months. I thought this is very, very important. Each one of us here have responsibility how to get this message across. And from the Buddhist point of view, what we call precious human life. Precious human life, okay? That means life that you have. From Buddhist point of view, Shantideva, he thinks that's precious. If you think that's not precious, no worth it, no good, totally wrong. What he gained, nothing. He doesn't get anything. He's not even getting any money from this book. Whole reason is just to benefit. So this is, you know, like, how I say, when I hear this word, you know, I am bad. What I'm hearing in the underline, indirectly, I'm hearing that you are saying that I'm incapable of improving myself. That's not true. So, based on this, you know, like the topic, precious human life, has something to contribute to all of us. So, what is this all precious human life is about? What is this topic? Is what they are talking about, precious human life. They are not talking about their life. They are talking about every human life, precious human life. So there's something we all have responsibility to share, you know. So like, that's, as a Buddhist, that's what you're supposed to do. In the morning when you wake up with some kind of appreciations. So, I'm just happy or proud to be human. No, I'm happy because I'm capable, fully capable, to improve myself. No. So somehow this needs to be sought through. Why you say I'm bad person? Why you say? And what I'm hearing from based on my knowledge on Buddhism, and I'm hearing that you are saying that I'm incapable of improving myself. So that's not true. If you're giving reason, okay, because I did something wrong, that's your deeds. That's not you. That's your deed. If you cannot separate your deed and yourself, then you are basically saying, I am inseparable with my deeds. Then there's no hope. There's nothing you can do. There's no hope. That's simply not true. So everybody makes mistakes. I make mistakes, you make mistakes, everybody makes mistakes. What do? You don't live with that mistake. As a Buddhist, what do? You purify them. Right? When you purify them, what you are saying, I am going to purify my deed. You are not saying, I'm going to purify me. That doesn't make sense. Do you say, I'm going to purify me? That doesn't make sense. I'm going to purify certain things that I did, you know. Then we don't say, I feel guilty. What we say, I regret. No, I regret, you know, I say something negative, I regret. So that regretting towards something negative is positive. Regretting towards something positive, that's negative. The regret can be both, you know. So even the word guilt doesn't exist in Tibetan language. We don't have word. No, so that, you know. So if I understand correctly, that's part of what you're trying to say. I feel guilty. Means what I'm thinking, you are saying, I feel regret. Is that true? Huh? That makes sense. I feel regret, no? So then you purify them, no? So then you do some practice, you know, simple things, what you can do, you just go around, stupa. You know, like 100 silver mantra, that's too much to learn. That's one purification, that's too complicated to learn. 35 Buddha, even more difficult, frustration. You don't give up, what do? You just go one round, stupa, that's all you need to do. Just go one round. You know, I have no idea how much that purifies, you know. That's what you do. You don't live with the past. You purify them. So say, you know, this morning what I said, you know, if you have dirty dish in your sink, what do? You purify, you don't like them, well, you purify them. You purify. The way you purify, if you just sit there, simply hope, it will automatically be clean. That's not going to happen. Right? You can be disciplined, you know, say, you know, like it happens, right? You eat something, okay, maybe I could do tomorrow, you know, so that tomorrow, say, okay, maybe in the afternoon, then eventually it's passed up. Then each time when you see that, it's not happy. But then you know it's not, it needs to be clean, you know. Fortunately, here you have washing machines. Where I grew up, there's no washing machine, you have to do by hand. Anyway, you go to the market, then you buy soap, best soap, most powerful soap. So then you buy the best sponge to clean. Then you have soap, sponge, that's not good enough to clean, in order to clean. You put soap there, sponge there, or out front of sink, then you meditate. Or it automatically purify, or maybe say, give someone to clean. If you have a roommate, then he will clean, or she will clean. In that simple thing, what you need to, you need to, we need to move. You know? Even washing machine, so you will put no soap. So that also needs wisdom, right? Wisdom to use washing machines. So when we moved to this new house 4 years ago now, 3 years ago, I have no idea how to use. I never used a washing machine in my life. Gigi Sangpo has no idea. There's a couple of my friends, none of them has idea how to use a washing machine. So we put all the dishes there. So then I'm, compared to them, I'm a little bit better because I can read some English, you know. I'm looking the, what do you call this? Cover. There's a couple of holes I'm looking, so I couldn't figure out where to put. So then one is kind of close. Then there's one hole I thought, oh, that's where you put. So then, you know, I use this soap. I pour into that hole. It never fills up. It just goes. And I just pop it like this big. I just pour half of them. Then the lock. Then we just, you know, went to the basement to talk to them. When they come out, all the bubbles are kind of like everywhere. That's like a lack of wisdom, you know. So now it can open. It's closed now. Not know how to open that. Constant bubbles coming out of there. Then probably call Shady or something. That's like no wisdom. You know, purifying without wisdom. So, so you know, this is just, you know, like the part of the story. So that's what we do, you know. So my point here is, you know, how to, like, as a time and time again, you hear directly, indirectly, people come to you, oh, Gisela, my life has no meaning. That's not true. It's not true. So it is not just meaning, it's so meaningful, no. Because it's so meaningful, because every moment you are fully capable to improve. That's why it's so meaningful, so, no, so precious. So then, like, say, feeling good about just being human, you know, and recognizing that, you know, something, this is something very precious. Every, not because only if you are Buddhist you are precious, not like that. Simply, you are human, so it's precious. So there's, you know, something needs to be, you know, like I say, each one of us in this room has responsibility, you know. Maybe these people are saying something very important. We are not getting it. When they talk of precious human life, so we should pay attention to what they are trying to say. They are saying that you are good, you are fully capable, even though you make mistake, you are still fully capable to improve. You are so precious. Don't think this is something easy to find. It's so difficult to find. No. So you should not look down, you should not abuse, you should not ruin. This is something you have to nourish. Nourish. Cherish, you know, just to feel good that you are human. You know, so much one can get just doing this kind of meditations, daily basis, you know, daily basis. on the other hand, then it's so much emphasize helping yourself. It may sound like selfish, but that's okay. We have to help ourselves. You can't help other persons if you cannot help yourself. So the desire has to be very strong, what we call renunciations. Renunciation doesn't mean to leave something, everything, then just go somewhere else. That's misunderstanding of renunciation. Renunciation means you have to have desire, not just desire, very strong desire to help yourself. In order to help yourself, so you have to know, like, suffering, right? Am I right? That's why, Four Noble Truth. No, first truth is truth of suffering. That's why you have to understand suffering in order to help yourself. Not because you Buddha wants to depress you. That's why he talks about suffering. He has a reason why he talks out of... That's the first teaching he gives after enlightenment, after 49 days. First teaching he gives Four Noble Truth. Out of that, first one is suffering. If you don't understand suffering, you cannot help yourself. So therefore, you have to understand suffering. So see, practical experience that I had, if you don't understand depression, there's no way you can help that person who is depressed. First of all, you don't understand. One of my friends got very depressed, stayed with me 1 month. I took care of him 1 month. There's very little I can do because I have no experience about depression at all. Physically, it looks fine. But the person, the way the person described to you is like big, deep hole. That's where the person is in. You cannot see. So there's no, you can't like, because no, not knowing the suffering, that's going to be like that, not knowing depressions. So then you have very, like, as a practical, you cannot generate practical sympathy. Sympathy? Because you don't understand. Physically, that person looks fine. So then once in a while you say, oh, maybe that person is acting. No, they're not understanding the situations. So then time to time I talk, you know, bring some of my friends who went through depressions, then I ask them to come to talk to him. Then when they come, he is, you see his face kind of glowing because it's kind of a relief for him that finally he can talk to somebody who understands his situations, who understands situations. You know? You can say certain things very easily, but experience matters, understanding. Experiential understanding of depression is matter to help somebody who's going through depressions. Now, then you can relate it to them. So that's how exactly if you understand the truth of sufferings, when you look around, you can relate yourself to other sentient beings, what they're going through, rather than always saying, you know, just getting jealous and like that. So that's why whole reason truth of suffering has been taught. So then after that, how to overcome. So this is strong, the desire has to be very strong to help yourself. So then last Wednesday night discussions, they say, you know, in order to run, you have to know how to walk. In order to walk, you have to know how to crawl. If you cannot crawl, you cannot walk. If you cannot walk, you cannot run. Now that, you know, exactly like that. So now, that is like helping yourself. There's no way you can genuinely develop compassion towards other living beings if you don't have a strong desire to help yourself. That is renunciation, okay? So now, helping others, you know, as we recited this, what you call the four images at the beginning of the class, may all sentient beings, that's the wish, beautiful wish, that you are trying to open up your heart towards all living beings. But in order to do that practically, you have to begin from somewhere. So what you begin from your close one, loved one. No, so then slowly move to the strangers, then slowly move to the enemies, then they become universe. So now, if when you say I love, what I'm hearing, not based on my experience, okay, not based on my experience. I have zero experience, no experience. But what I'm hearing based on my knowledge, what you're saying is, you're saying that I am willing to contribute to that person that I love, willing to contribute if that person is struggling to achieve something in order to, or for sake of happiness, then I'm willing to contribute. That's love. Okay? That's when you say I love, that's what you're saying. From Buddhist point of view, that's what you're saying, I'm willing to contribute. If you're struggling to get something for your sake of happiness, I'm here to contribute. When you're saying I have compassion, what you're saying is if your loved one is struggling, overcoming from some difficulties, then you are here, there to help, to contribute, to overcome from that difficulties. That's compassion. So, then when you say, you know, I love cheesecake, I'm not sure. So what that means, you know. So there's really nothing to contribute to cheesecake. So cheesecake contribute to us. You know, so then the... in Tibetan, we say, I like cheesecake, we don't say, I love cheesecake. But you know, I've been saying this since I came to America, so like, when people they ask, Gisela, do you love cheesecake? I say, yes, of course I love cheesecake. But I'm not sure what I'm saying, but you know, I love so much cheesecake, so my karma ran out. Now I cannot eat cheesecakes because I have diabetic. I cannot eat cheesecake. Anyway, so now this is something that needs to be keep in your mind, you know. When you say I love, means that's what you're trying to see. So this is, you know, if you understand the definition of love and compassion, so this will definitely help to maintain long lasting positive relationship between you and your friends. No, so rather than, you know, arguing about little things here, there, you know, so then the clearly that you don't understand. I don't understand the definition of love. So that's what you're trying to say, you know, and I love someone, okay? Then what else? I think there's... So there's three things: precious human life, how to help our children to understand their life is precious, not because what they wear, how they look, what kind of style of hair they have, not based on that. There's nothing to do with that. It's just precious. No. And to educate them, when you say I am bad, what you're saying is you are saying I'm incapable. That's not true. It's not true. So this has a mentality needs to remove from this brain forever for good. So needs to know each one of us is here is responsibility for to do that. Okay. So then helping yourself, then helping others. You know, helping others. So now, then the discussion last Wednesday night class, then some of my friends say, oh, Gisela, helping yourself is much more difficult than helping others. I can relate to that a little bit. So usually, you know, I am supposed to exercise because diabetic, I have to exercise. So I'm not really excited about exercising, you know. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sometimes I feel like, you know, Dharma practice like that, exercising. You know, so when you exercise, in the end you feel good. You know? So then, you know, when my teacher came here, visited us, I thought, okay, he has to exercise. Then I'm kind of pushing him, you know, to go around Shilly Lake. So then when I take him, I feel good because I think then I also, in order to take him around Shilly Lake, I have to also go with him. Without going with him, I can. No. So then when I walk around, I feel good. So that's probably what it means. Helping others is a little bit easier than helping yourself. So that's just, you know, as a little part of that, little part. So, so they need to find out why it's so difficult to help yourself. So that need more discussions, you know, why it's so difficult helping myself. Maybe I don't understand clearly what it means, helping myself. Maybe I thought helping myself is this and this and this, this. Maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means something else. So that, you know, need more discussions. So, therefore, the serious Buddhist practitioners, they never feel depressed. Why? They never feel bad about themselves. They always feel good. Even they are living in the cave, they are content just to be human. They are content, they are happy just to be human. They don't need so much to make them happy. They're just happy just to think, I'm human. You know, there's so much happiness come from there. You know? So living like, you know, in the cave, so you know, they are absolutely fine. So, precious human life and how to help, you know, the will to help, that will have to be strong. According to Lam Rim, it says it has to be there day and night, not just once a blue moon. It has to be there day and night. And it has to be strong in order to help. Day and night, it has to be strong. So that's why, you know, so much mental sufferings, they have very little mental problems. Even though, like, you know, when they get stroke, very little negative impact on their mind. Mental, they are fine. But you know, physically, you know, there are some problems, but mentally, they are fine. Because we have no idea how much mind can take in. You know, how much you can improve within the mind, okay? So that's it. So then, the one question then, okay. One question that's been read by Lamula last Sunday is the last part of the question is about nightmare. And I said, you know, there's like Tara mantra they can recite. Tara mantra. that's like Tara number 19. That mantra, you know, that's 21 Tara. Tara number 19, that's, you know, specifically there to help overcome from nightmare. So that's a mantra. If you are interested, please talk to Chukila. She knows the mantras. Or you are welcome to talk to me. So I'm also happy to explain on that. So then... Maybe better to die.
Chukila
English is much better than my English. That's why.
Okay. How do I reconcile the suffering of a loved one caused by my decision to seek truth and happiness in a way that is not in the same tradition as they?
Yeah.
So I think this question, if I'm understanding it, is really asking, you know, by trying to follow, in our case, a Buddhist path, if your family isn't happy about you following that Buddhist path, then how do you handle it causing them suffering?
Yeah. You have answers? Yeah. Yeah, please contribute.
Thank you.
Someone asked Lama Yeshe that question at Kopan, and he said, there's no reason not to make your family happy. You don't have to talk about your Buddhist practice. They don't have to know anything about it if it upsets them. You can go to church with your family and continue your tradition that makes your family happy, and you don't have to say anything about your Buddhist practice if that's upsetting to them. You can just practice privately, and that can be another part of your life, but there's no reason to upset your family about it, and there's no reason to use Buddhism as a means to separate friends or family, and there's no reason to talk about your practice at all, actually. You can keep it very private and discuss your questions within the Buddhist community and not upset your family.
I have this problem, and I've resolved it in the fact that when I go visit my family, I go to church with them. I don't talk about what I do, because what I do here makes me happy. And if it makes them unhappy, I'm not going to share it with them, because I don't want to give them bad karma by having bad feelings about another religion. So I just go and I let them talk about it. And since I grew up being Christian, I know the Bible, I can talk to them about the Bible. So that's the best way I've been able to manage dealing with being in a different religion.
Yeah, so basically we should not close our heart based on our belief. Religious belief, that's no good. No, we should open our heart. We should all say, if you have belief, we should all say, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause happiness. You know, so rather than just saying, you know, this human beings have a cause of happiness, this human beings not cause of happiness, that's no good. So we have to open our heart based on the possibilities. I also have some experience. One of my not like blurredly related, but I consider her as my sister. She went through so much difficulties in her life. So there's a group of, I think, the Christian organizations help her overcome from difficulties. Then because of that, you know, she become Christian. My mother, now she's already passed away, she's so upset about that. So the telling, then I try to encourage my mother, you know, not to be negative. Every person has right to become whatever path they choose. There's nothing wrong about that. And she's upset because, you know, like, these are, you know, this is like also clearly not understanding the core meaning of traditions. She's upset because she said she burned Buddha's image and threw out His Holiness photos. So we should not get fight based on that, you know. If this is enlightened, nobody can harm. When you're enlightened, you have compassion towards all living beings, whether they are being nice to you, not being nice to you, whether they are respectful to you, not respect you, they care about all living beings equally. So, you know, burning Buddha's image, if you kill somebody, that's not good. That's like clearly not understanding the definition of enlightenment. You can't harm, you know. So then that's not good. That's why, you know, His Holiness saying, be practical. You know, you don't destroy somebody or don't look down somebody because they did something. That's like, you know, if you are a good listener, as a Buddhist disciple, if you consider, you should not have biased mind, you know. Being biased, you can't just the qualities that you need to possess. You have to be transparent, or you have to be middle, you know, and then will to learn, then ability to distinguish between good and bad. If that person say, okay, kill someone, you simply tell them, no, not going to kill, because simply you say so, I'm not going to kill, because that's negative. So you have to have these three, how you say, qualities, to unbiased, will to learn, and the wisdom to listen. When you read the Lamrim, they have been listed there, the qualifications the teacher has to possess, the qualifications the disciple has to possess. There's three qualifications. True Buddhist has no biased mind. Similarly, all the major traditions, if you have biased mind, you are not true follower of that, whatever the leader is, you know. So they don't have this bias, you know. Their wish is just to benefit when you look at the message. So, you know, changing your mom's mind is because she's upset because of that, not because, at first I thought she's upset because she become Christian. There's nothing wrong. Then she came to me. She's trying to convert me, but she's giving me a lot of books. I took the books. You know, I took the books. And not just that, you know, long time ago, a couple of Mormon, you know, one winter time, they knock on my door. It's very cold. At that time, I'm living in Stephanie, well-dressed, you know. I opened the door. I have no idea. You know, I've just been here a couple of years. Somebody knocked on the door. They are not there. I just opened the door. There's two gentlemen. Looks very, you know, official. And then I asked them to come in because it's so cold. So I don't want them to stand outside. So then in my tradition, you know, if somebody knocks on the door, you invite them inside. You offer them something that you have, tea or water. And I ask them to come in. So then they sit there. So I have no idea. So they say, they're saying something. So then then they sit down. So then, you know, then they are like reading up their Bibles, probably somebody carrying something. So then one person says something like 20 minutes, then right after the other person says 20 minutes, it's like 45 minutes talk. So then they give me, I still have the books, they give me one book. So then they mark the book, said, read from here to here, next week we'll come again. So next week when they come, I'm teaching class at the center. They came on Wednesday night. So then the landlady probably told them not to, you know. So next time they come with their teachers, I think they come with their teachers to find out where I went. That's been in newspaper, you know, the local newspaper. They come to me, interview about that incident. That's in the newspaper. So anyway, so what do you do? So then I just, you know, I told them I'm monk, Buddhist monk. I become monks when I was 7 years old. I become monks. So they still don't give up. So they come again. So, you know, what do you do? So then, you know, I don't hate them. You know, that's, I told them I was very much inspired by young people having such a faith. I said, that's good things, you know. Faith is not something you can easily develop. So I said, I was really inspired by your faith, you know, so strong, young. You know, so I was very much inspired by that. So anyway, so next time then landlady told something, then they never come back. Oh yeah, so
yeah. Okay, so we'll say some dedication verses. First I'll read the prayer list. Prayers for happy rebirth, all those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom, Venerable Sophia Sue, George M. Getzberger, Gary Goldberg, Herbert Greaves, Allison Haar, Tig Jones, Maurice, Richard Lenahan, Robert Mallon, Catherine Powell, Robert Wallen, Barney the Dog, Mikey the Dog, Oakley the Dog, Simon Oliver the Cat, Soha the Duckling. For job search, David Hayes and Mark Johnson. Prayers for health and well-being. For Kabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, for Venerable Lama, Venerable Tsepal, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Daniel, Richard Furst, Allison Burr's family, Francis Hayashi, Karen Hill, Leslie and Joan Inman, Jackson and Helen Kasanoff, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Mandela, Shelley Miller, Ian Moeller, Dave Kandia, Aunt Polly, Ralph and Lee Saul and family, Chuck and Faye Renard, Jason Lee Roman, Dr. Albert Wallace, right, let's do the dedication verses from Shantideva on the pink sheet. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the Snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Awatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the Yellow Hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the Siddur's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjinas victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And for Geshe live long, happy, healthy life. Om Tari Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tari Tu Re So Ha.